Good morning, everybody, and welcome once again to our adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. We're glad you're all here, whether in the flesh or in the spirit. Today, I think, if we're lucky, not lucky, if we're blessed, or however God wants it to, we're hoping to finish 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and move on to 1 Corinthians 13, which will be so great, we'll probably all be raptured right out of here. So, I think that if anybody remembers, I thought we stopped at 26. So let's start with 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and read to the end of the... It's only about five verses.
Corinthians what?
12, 27.
We're going to have Buddy read it out of the Amplified Bible.
So now you collectively are Christ's body and individually you are a member of it. Each part severally and distinct, each with its own place and function. So God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First, apostles, special messengers. Second, prophets, inspired teachers and expounders. Third, teachers, then wonder works, then wonder workers, then some, and those with ability to heal the sick, helpers, administrators, speakers in different unknown languages, unknown tongues, are all apostles, special messengers, are all prophets, inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God, are all teachers, do all have the power for performing miracles, do all possess extraordinary powers of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, love.
Okay. Amen. So as we read these things and we see how miraculous they are, and we have to remember they are not the highest, they are not the greatest, they are, love is above everything.
Yep. Mm.
Okay. So in remembering, I was kind of taken by the fact that not everyone, it says, has gifts of healing or gifts of this or gifts of that. I think that we ought to remember what a gift is. A gift is a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. The gift of divine grace. The gift of faith, knowledge, holiness, virtue. So remember that the Bible does say God's gifts are without...
Gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
Repentance. Yeah. God doesn't repent that he gave them to you.
Well, you don't have to repent to get them either.
Yes, right. Very good.
A lot of people have them. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have them and use them in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. So far.
Yeah.
So far. Okay. Well, I just thought I threw those things around, and they are whatever. We don't have to. There are some people, some here that no one's gotten. There are some that nobody is, probably. But I just thought we'd go through them, and let's just go around and see what people think of these different gifts and what they exactly mean. First, we have apostles. Oh, those are over there. What do you think, Bren?
I really think that we, having Christ, have all of these, but we're not always used in were not used in everything.
I understand completely what you're saying.
And on here it says apostles, they have it, a delegate, especially an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ, apostle with miraculous powers, apostle, a messenger, and it said, he that is sent. And I think we're all sent.
Amen.
Sent, and we're all messengers, yeah. And we're all, you know, that's why. But I think that there are some that even gift that we have or what we're called is greater, that God uses you greater in specific.
That's the way I feel it. The callings are one thing, but the authority and the power when a specific gift is needed is in every single one of us. And even though you might not say, okay, let's say Oscar is a teacher, but we all can teach when the when someone needs it, you know? I think that Brenda has a wonderful gift of, and Mike too, of encouragement to people. Encouragement to people. And yet, we all have that ability to encourage. It's just all part of the Spirit of God. Yes.
See, when you read 29, it says, are all apostles, especially, are all prophets, inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God, are all teachers, do all have the power of performing miracles. We that have Christ, I believe, have all these, but God does not always use you in, you know, I think in specific, you know, areas, like you said, that in a courager, and then on here it also says, a delegate messenger once sent forth with orders. Well, that's God sending. I mean, we're not just going forth on our own. Mm-hmm. And it says specifically applied to the 12 apostles of Christ. But that's everyone. I see it in specifically the same here, but it's all of us. Mm-hmm. And in a broader sense, applied to other eminent Christian teachers, like it says, talks of Barnabas and of Timothy and Silvanus. Mm-hmm. Gives all these scriptures here, so good. And said, according to Paul, the apostles surpassed as well the various order. It just, this is so good to have with these things that you've written, and, you know, that you took copies and gave to us. Yes, God's chief messenger who has brought. And as compared with Moses, whom the Jews confessed. Down here where it says in 28, then wonder workers, then those with the ability to heal the sick, then helpers. Mm-hmm. What are wonder workers? I mean, what is it? Is it supposed to?
Well, in my understanding, that's the gift of miracles. Mm-hmm. My, is that where that would? Yeah, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? I would call that wonder workers.
Mm-hmm.
But
what's next?
With a granule of faith, but with, you know, a granule of faith, you can make, like Elijah did, you can make the little cruel of flower lasts forever. Now that's a miracle, you know. And he was a great prophet, but you know, they do overlap each other a lot. And it's just like it says here, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way.
Yes.
Than any gifts. Wow. Become within the I am, you know.
Scriptures are so good.
Go ahead. Anybody else want to jump in on apostles?
Well, I can say a few things about
sure.
that if you want. I believe that apostles are called to establish works and establish churches and things like that. you know, the apostles, when you talk about the wonder working powers working, now a lot of people would say that there's not been no real wonder working things happening here, but I disagree with that. I think there's been some tremendous wonder working things here. I think that we had a very small group, and I think that we built a $1 million church with a small group, and not everybody was a giver. We had a crux of maybe 20 people, 15, 20 people that were the actual givers, you know, when it came down to giving. You know, nobody ever gave a tremendous amount, you know, at one time, you know, a tremendous amount or anything. And, you know, I can tell you that when this church here got established at this particular location, I was driving down the street one time, and this place went up for sale, the property here. And I told Margaret, and I told Margaret, I said, well, you know, I said, I don't know if I should even tell the people about this. I said, because none of them live out here. And none of them did at that time. Nobody. And you guys lived over in Fairfield at that time and all that. And I told Margaret, I said, well, I said, I won't even say anything. Because there had been talk different times about building a new church and all this kind of stuff. Well, then, just I'll take a minute to tell the story if that's okay. But anyway, then about a year or two later, a couple years later, I drove by there because when we were down in Elmwood, I used to come across Tylersville Road most of the time, and then either go to the expressway to get down to Elmwood, or I would drive down 747 and then get on Vine Street and go that way most of the time. And by then, I lived up here, and a lot of other people lived up here, you know. But as I drove by, I told Margaret, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to go back and get that phone number off of the property that says it's for sale. And she said, no, just, you know, get it later. I said, no. I said, I feel like I'm supposed to get it right now. And no, she says, just go on. No. I said, no. And I turned around and came back and got the phone number. I went into church and I told some of the elders, you know, Carl, and some of them were standing back there talking, Stan, everyone's. And I told them, I said, I saw some property for sale, and I said, and I just feel like I should tell you guys about it. And we had been to look at some property down off of, trying to think of the name of that road down here, but it was down, and it was a big hill. It was up on a hill, and there was gullies and all kind of stuff, and it wasn't real great property. Well, it ended up where nobody wanted to buy that, you know. Well, then when I told them about this up here, they said, well, we ought to check into it. Well, you know, we checked into it, and we probably could have got it for less money, but Brother A said, go ahead and buy it. Go ahead and give them what they're asking for, you know. Well, I would have tried to work the guy down some, you know what I mean. So we bought this place for I think for $96,000 or $97,000, okay? It was 9 acres, so it was right around
$1,000 an acre.
Yeah. Well, no. It was $90,000. $10,000 an acre.
Little difference there.
A little different, yeah. $10,000 an acre. So anyway, it ended up to where a lot of different conversations, and it ended up where we bought it, okay? And, you know, so it got, the land got established. You know, a lot of people didn't want to move from Elmwood because there had been miraculous things happen down there years past and all that kind of stuff. And people don't understand a building or a property is just a piece of property. You know, the church is the people. The church is not that building down there. You know, that building's no more holier than any other building. You know what I mean? But it was, you know, it was because a lot of people went there and different things. Well, anyway, we bought the land, and we talked about building something up here. And I kept telling people, I said, I don't want to try to build anything up here until we've got the land paid for, you know. And because I felt like we needed to get something paid for before we started. So anyway, it took us about four years to pay this off. We paid off the land up here. Still was nobody put in no tremendous amount of money, but we had some money in the church down there, you know, in the bank account. So anyway, we bought this land. Well, then we started trying to decide who we would have give us some prices and different things. And some people weren't on board with us building this place up here. You know, initially Jim wasn't on board with it. He didn't really think we should do it. And, you know, not just picking Jim out, but there was other people too, you know. But so anyway, it went on, and we really felt like we were supposed to build something here, and we did. And we ended up spending about $600,000 to build this place up here. You know, we started out where we were going to put a metal building on it, and then we talked to another builder, and he said, "Well, I can put you a stick and brick building up for what you're going to pay for that metal building," because steel was getting real high then. And being in the machine tool business, I knew how steel was rising, the prices of steel. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we decided to do it. And just about everything that happened up here, before we even had this church built, once we had the drawings made up and everything, it was appraised for $1,300,000. Just on the drawings, you know, just looking at the drawings and the land. So we had about $700,000 was going to end up being tied up in it, is what it amounted out to. So anyway, we every time we turned around, there was an obstacle in the way. And anytime God's in anything, there's going to be an obstacle. There'll always be an obstacle. He'll always allow an obstacle to be there to find out if you got enough faith to follow through with what you do. And, you know, we started having some dissension with some of the people who were elders, because there was a rigmarole about this or that or whatever. And there was a lot of things that came to the surface, and there was some things that where people were telling lies and different things like that. And I mean, it got a little bit ugly as we were doing this. And for me, I felt like, I mean, if I had done what I felt like doing, I'd have walked away from the whole mess. But I didn't, because I felt like the Lord wanted me not to do that. So anyway, we ended up building this place. We were going to have to put in a septic system here. Okay, it was going to cost us $20,000+, septic system. But we were told from the county that the minute that they come down the road with the sewage, we was going to have to tap into the sewage. So that would have been another probably $10,000-$20,000 there, because we would have had to run all kind of stuff to get out to it and all that kind of stuff. So the architect went next door and asked them if we could go across their land and tap into the sewer, because the sewer was over there. Mm-hmm. And they said yes, and they didn't charge us anything mm-hmm. for an easement to go across their property. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was pretty miraculous right there. Guess what it costs to put it in? We have a grind pump, and all of our waste goes down into a pit out there. Then it grinds it up, and it pumps it across the yard into the sewer. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was going to cost $20,000. Same thing as what the other thing was going to cost, you know. So we had that put in. So that was kind of a miraculous thing there, okay? Then, you know, they made us put in a fire hydrant, whatever you want to call it out there. If we had put that in when they were coming down the road, which I would have liked to have done, but I got some flack about that. Well, we don't want to spend that money because we're not we're not, we don't know when we're gonna build out there. It would've cost only cost a couple thousand dollars at most to put the hydrant in. But because we didn't put the hydrant in, that fire hydrant sitting out there cost $22,000. Because we had to have a pit dug, and it's got a concrete pit, and it's got its own pumps and shut off valves and all kind of stuff down in that pit. Well, you know, we did that. And every turn that we would do, because the builders and all them were arguing with the county over everything, and they weren't giving them all the information that they needed, because they were going in there like gangbusters, fussing and carrying on and threatening to sue them and all kind of stuff like that. Well, I started calling the inspectors and the zoning board and all these different things, and started talking to them and finding out what was going on. And I went back and apologized to everybody that they dealt with and told them, we're a little church. And I said, you know, you tell me what needs to be done and I'll tell them what they have to do, whether they want to do it that way or not. And I did that. And all of a sudden it started moving forward. Well, we built this place. Then when we actually got it built, we had 600-something, 100,000. Originally we thought we were gonna have $400,000 tied up in here. It was 600-something, $100,000 tied up in here. Okay, so we every 5 years we had to refinance, you know. And so every 5 years they would make us get a brand new loan, because they wouldn't give us a long-term loan. And every 5 years we'd have to refinance. And then after we got a few years down the road, they started building next door. And they were landlocked, and they didn't have enough room to hardly build anything. They built their little building back in the back, which was a nice building. I had the one that was over there already. And anyway, they started right away coming to me and wanting to buy a piece of land from them. I told them no. And I mean, we weren't going to sell it. And then I talked to the elders, and I told them no. Well, then it kept on and it kept on and kept on, and we started gradually losing people. A lot of the people who went to Elmwood wouldn't come out here. And I can remember, and I'll give you an example.
Did you have a lot of people in the neighborhood that came there around, or did?
Some, yeah, there was pretty many. But the thing about it is like even Lonnie and people like that said, well, I don't want to drive way out there. I said, well, let me ask you a question, Lonnie. I said, do you ever go to Tri-County Mall? Well, yeah, I go out there quite a bit. I said, it's 2 miles up the road from Tri-County Mall, or 3 miles up the road. Hmm. I said, it's exactly 12 miles from the church down there to the front door here, 12 miles. I said, I drove more than 12 miles for 20-something years going to the other church. Mm-hmm. I said, you guys probably did too, you know. And anyway, it went on, and then, you know, the people who came out here, and I remember Levine coming out here, and, you know, they were pretty attached to that church. Mm-hmm. And I remember her coming to me and telling me, Oscar, she says, the Holy Spirit's out here too. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. I said, we brought the Holy Spirit with us when we came out here. But, I mean, it was like she was surprised, you know, because the Holy Spirit was out here too. Well, anyway, so it ended up to where they kept getting desperate and desperate, and they kept on coming and asking us stuff. And they went to bat for us at the zoning, you know. And we had people who had just started building those houses up there when we were getting ready to build this. And they went and tried to get the zoning to not let us build on this land. And I'll have to say this, I'm sorry I'm taking up all this time, but I just want you to understand all the ins and outs it took to get this place here. And then I told one guy, he was Christian, and it was Christian people that were giving us the hard time, see. It's your brothers and your sisters, they'll give you the hardest time, you know. And the one guy said to me, he says, well, you guys will be making too much noise and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, we're not going to make any noise. He said, well, your headlights, when you pull in and out, they'll be shining in our... I said, we're 400 feet away from your house, you know. I said, well, you're going to mess up our nature preserve. I said, your nature preserve is our land. It ain't your nature preserve. It's our land, you know. And I did tell this one guy one time, because he actually ticked me off after one of the meetings. I said, let me tell you something, buddy. I said, if it gets to be too much of a hassle to build this place here, I said, maybe we'll turn it into a pig farm. How you like that? And he got real quiet. His wife came over to me and she said, I've seen the drawing. She says, it looks like it's going to be a lovely little church and everything. I said, we're not. I said, we want to be an enhancement to the neighborhood, not a distraction, you know. So anyway, it ended up to where when that last time that they come and they asked me about, we had refinanced three times, you know, we were up into our almost 15 years. We were getting ready to refinance again. We were getting real close. It was just a couple years ago. And they contacted me again and they said, you know, is there any way we could buy it? They wanted to buy the whole place. I said, no, we'd never do that. And they said, well, if any amount of land you could sell us, anything that would help us, you know. And I said, well, the only thing, only way I personally would be willing to say let's sell some of it is if we could pay off our loan and stuff and didn't have anything. They paid us way more than what that property back there. They got 4 acres at the back of the land. Mm-hmm. A bunch of it was hillside, and some of it was across the creek over there. Mm-hmm. So what? And if you look up there if you walked up to the end of our property, the front of their church is where their property line starts going back to the hill. Well, they did dig the hill out some and put a parking lot back there. Mm-hmm. And they drug it out for about a year trying to get their money together. So, and in the meantime, we were paying off more on the property. Mm-hmm. So before we ever built this church, we had $100,000 in our savings account at the other church, which we had to use to start building this place. Go out there and look on the bulletin board. We put a financial report up every month. Go out there and look on the bulletin board. You know how much money we got in our savings account now? $112,000. So we got a church that's totally paid for. We got the same amount of money that we had when we started. Now you tell me that isn't miraculous.
Miraculous.
It's miraculous. Yes, it is.
This little flock.
And we've had a lot of people leave, but if it was just the fact of the people here, and I knew our ministry wasn't going out anywhere else, mm-hmm. I'd be gung-ho to close this down and let's go have some home meetings somewhere, mm-hmm. you know. But I know that we're putting stuff on the internet all the time and it's going out to people. And I did tell you guys a couple of weeks ago, I had gotten a message from a guy that wanted to know if I would do a Zoom and speak to his assembly. And I didn't do it because I was kind of down in a bad place right there at that time. I didn't do it. And I actually I'm going to contact him again and apologize to him because I didn't get back with him. Mm-hmm. But I didn't necessarily feel like the Lord was telling me to do it. But I was kind of up in the air, you know. So anyway, there has been some miraculous things. This place is paid for. We had some problems with the roof where it blew shingles off and stuff. You know, the insurance company did not want to fix it. They said they would pay that. Though they said we could pay the deductible and that probably cover putting them new shingles back on up there. Well, we had a guy pull in here when me and Margaret was down here one day, and he said, I noticed you got some shingles missing off your roof. We said, yeah. He said, can I go up and look? He said, I'm a roofer. And we said, yeah. He went up and he looked, and he said, you know, let me deal with the insurance company. I said, okay. And he says, I think I can make him fix his roof. And he said, you know, he got, went up there and he looked and he said, there's a lot of the shingles are kind of damaged and all this and that. He said, you're right at 15 years. He said, you're not quite 15 years. He said, if you go past 15 years, he said, they don't have to replace it. So it was right at 15 years. He said, if we do it now, and here he said, I'll get an outside arbitrator to come in and look at the roof. And he got in touch with the insurance company, and he said, it'll cost about $1,000. He said, I'll pay the $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I'm just telling you, now this, you know, he said, I'll pay the $1,000.
Oscar, where did he come? I mean, did he was just driving down
the
street?
He lives up there somewhere. You know,
driving and saw.
Yeah, he drives by here. And he said, I'll pay the $1,000. He paid the $1,000. They got back with Daryl a while back, and I told Curtis, I said, you and Daryl handle this. I don't want to, I'm trying to back off from some of this stuff. I don't want to be. But anyway, I had said, and I had told people different times, and they'd say, well, you know, you got that money in there. I said, yeah, and I said, you know, if we ever had to put a roof on this place, it'd cost $50,000 at least. And I said, you know, it's good that we got that $100,000 out there. Guess what the estimate on the roof was? $56,000 to replace this roof. So anyway, we're getting a roof that we're not having to pay for, okay? And God has miraculously done things.
Yep.
I mean, that's miraculous when you think about it, because the insurance company was fighting it. They wasn't gonna do it. And you know, Daryl and them kept saying, "Well, you know, they don't want to pay for it." And, you know, and I said, Daryl, I said,
"My God,
you know, they'll end up having to pay for it." I told him, I said, "They'll end up having to pay for it," and they did. So the guy's starting Wednesday or so. And he'll be putting the roof on. And he's going to tear off the old roof and put a whole new roof on, which a lot of times they want to just flap over top of the roof, and he's not going to do that.
That's not a good thing.
He's going to tear it all off, and he says he can do it in about 3 days, bring a double crew in here. He thinks in 3 days he can do it.
Does he have a company?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a roofing company.
Do you want to say the name of it?
It's Riley's Roofing, Riley. Yeah. But anyway, there's been a lot of miraculous things happen. You know, at the other church, you know, we did have a baptismal pool, you know. When my mother died, you know, my family came in, people from other, you know, we have a pretty good sized family, you know, if you fall for brothers and them, but they were still all alive back then. And when my mother passed away, we'd been talking about trying to get a portable baptismal pool. Okay. Well, when mother passed away, there was donations made to her in her name. And it was just enough to pay for the baptismal pool sitting right there. You know, we didn't have to pay for that. That got paid for. But I mean, it's, you know, the chairs out there, you know. God fixed it where I got $4,000 for something, and I don't even remember what it was. I can't remember where I got the $4,000 from. That came to me, and you know, well, I took $4,000 and I paid for half of the chairs out there, and the church paid for the other half of the chairs, you know. But I mean, we didn't have no money in the bank originally, you know, going in, because when we first built the place, because you know. I mean, we used up all of our money pretty much, because we had the bank made us use everything we had in the bank account first before they would start giving us their money to use. And we originally didn't have a platform and figured in the cost up there. The builder put a platform up there. You could drive a Mack truck up on that platform. He made it so strong. That's how strong it is. We didn't originally have a sound booth. He put in a sound booth. We didn't really originally have that office out there in the front. It was going to cut off there. You know, he added on and put that out there, you know. So a lot of the stuff, you know, I believe God worked it out. Now, he did get mad at the end, and he didn't finish up what he was supposed to finish up. Well, the elders, we had a meeting, and the elders decided they didn't want to pay him the last $6,000. I thought we should have paid him the last $6,000, but I was overridden in that, so we didn't pay him the last $6,000. But we did turn around and pay the people he hadn't paid, which was more than $6,000. Mm-hmm. We had a guy come in here who had done the landscaping out here, okay? And the landscaping out there, if you notice, there's a hill right there that comes to the back door, and it runs almost straight down to the back door. Have you ever come in here and seen any water in the floor out there? Usually when you have a hill that runs down and then it levels out right at your door almost, you're going to get a lot of water. You know, water's going to run under the door. Well, God told me, he said, because we paid him $400 that Doug hadn't paid him, he said, I'll make sure that I'll do that in such a way where that water will never run down there. And he did. He put, and if you cut the grass out there, there's a couple of ridges here and there, and he made everything where the water runs right over into that drainage ditch. And there's not been no water come in this building, you know. And I mean, a lot of the stuff fell into place to where it was, you know, it was above and way above and beyond, you know. But that's the way God is.
Well, you know, that was all miraculous. And you know, when you first think of miracles, you think of, you know, Jesus changing the water into the wine and raising this guy up and you know, all that stuff like that. But the truth is, miracles are everyday events.
They are.
And for me, a miracle for me would be if I was fortunate enough to say something to someone and affect their life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anytime somebody gives their life to the Lord, that's a miracle.
Or do just something simple.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Brenda plays the song a lot. It says, this is who you are, Waymaker.
He's
talking about that.
Right. Yeah, that's a great song. I love that song.
I showed it to Frank out here, and I said, can you learn this or that? He said, I'll look at it. I said, because I'd love for us to sing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so when you get down to, you know, to apostles, well, I will tell you this, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I had a brother years ago come into church and prophesy to me, who was one of the elders, and prophesied to me, and Brother Eddie was still alive, but Brother Eddie was slipping, you know, pretty good. And the prophecy that he gave me was that he said, Brother Oscar, you're the apostle of this work here now, you know. And I've got the tape, I could play it for you, and it'd be somebody you'd know. They don't go to church here now, but it'd be somebody you'd know really well. And I was with that particular person years later. We went up to Doris, I can't think of Doris's last name, up in Dayton. Mm-hmm. Doris, I don't know her last name. But anyway, this was a big revival type thing. And they had ministers in from all over. Doris Schwartz, I think was her name. I think that was her name. And Even Kelly Vonger was going up there after he'd been here. You know, he had been speaking here, and he was going up there. Well, this person knew Doris, and they said that the one that had given me this prophecy years ago, and they, in the meantime, I think they'd even forgot that they gave me this prophecy. But I actually had the tape. I still have it. And so we're up at Doris Schwartz, and we're sitting in the row, and everybody up there was very gifted. I mean, it was very you know, very gifted people, you know. So this one brother sitting over on the end, and he comes over by me and he says, you know, he says, I'm sitting over there and he says, I see an apostolic anointing on you. And I said, he said, do you know that? I said, yeah, I know that. He said, I just wanted to tell you, he said, I see an apostolic apostle, yeah, apostle anointing on you. I said, yeah, I said, I realize that God has that on me. I said, I realize that. And I got back in the car to come home because I rode up with those other people. That person that had took us up there, he looked over at me and he says, he kind of laughed and he says, did you hear what that guy said to you, Oscar? And I said, yeah. And he was kind of laughing it off, you know, like, you know. And I said, you know what, brother? I said, I will tell you this. I said, I had a guy come back when he was getting ready to go on vacation and come back into the church, you know, instead of going on vacation, and gave me a prophetic word and told me that I had an apostle, I was the apostle of this word. And I said, do you remember who that was? And he looked real funny, and I said, it was you. And he was making light of it, you know what I mean? I said, it was you, you know? And I thought, well, you know, the thing about it is with situations, see, the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, you know, when I first got saved, you know, I was given a word by a prophetic ministry that I was called to be a prophet unto the nations, you know. And, you know, I, for a little while, wrestled with that when I was young because I thought, God, you know, I got these little kids. I can't take off a fly all over the country and go everywhere and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But I come to realize that every man is a nation. Everybody you come in contact is a nation. And I don't know how many people have listened to the tapes out here.
One time, didn't you have, you could tell or knew?
I used to be able to. Now I can't. Now, yeah, but it was about 30,000, I think it was. 30,000.
It was about 30,000 hits a month.
Huh? It was about 30,000 was going on and listening, you know. And it was listening to everybody. And see, I've had people say to me, when they ask me how this church functions, I said, I'm trying to help the body of Christ grow up. I feel like that's what the Lord called me to do, and that's what I'm doing. I said, I let people get into, men, women, whoever, get into the pulpit. And, oh, my God, Oscar, you should never do that. You're going to have all kind of problems. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing that. I said, brother, I said, that's what the Lord has called me to do. And have I been trying to help develop the ministries here? Yes. Did you used to teach when you first came here? No, you didn't. Did you used to teach or ever think you would be teaching and speaking when you first came here?
No.
I know you didn't. You know, and I could go right down the line. The Lord gave me a prophetic word for Jim and for Rich. And he gave me a prophetic word for Rich. And right after that, the Lord started up in Rich's teaching. You know, it began to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Same happened with Jim. I can remember when, and I probably shouldn't be saying this on tape, but I remember when Jim first came here, a lot of times he'd get up and try to speak and he couldn't hardly do it. I mean, he couldn't hardly do it.
The Lord was, him down there.
And he said to me one time, he said, you know, well, like I say, maybe I shouldn't say this stuff on the tape, but anyway, it was basically one of them situations where God brought him a long way from where he was originally, a long way. And Jim's a precious brother, and the Lord is using him tremendously now, you know.
Isn't that?
Isn't that what the apostles were supposed to do?
Yes.
That's exactly what they were supposed to do.
Well, that's right.
Now
you are referring to your brother, the
teaching part too. See, they called Jesus Rabbi. Mm-hmm. That means teacher.
That's exactly what it means.
That's exactly what it means. And There are preachers, there are teachers.
You don't know.
Preachers encourage you to go on. Teachers tell you how to go on, what to do, you know. And that's the difference.
There's such an overlap.
It all works together. It's all part of each. It's all part of each other. But see, I don't go around telling people, well, bless God, I'm an apostle, or I'm this, or I'm that. I'm whatever God. Whatever God wants me to be.
True.
You know, and I've never went around telling people I'm prophetic.
Exactly,
you know,
what it says.
But I know
the
God does
verse,
use me like that.
There
at
is
times.
Yet a more perfect way.
Well, the thing is you don't. The more you do that.
I had a brother come in here one time, and he called me out, and this was years ago, and he called me out, and he told me, he said, God is going to give you psalms and hymns unto the Lord, and I had never written any poems at that time, and then wasn't long after that God started giving me poetry, you know, but then I had. I had another brother tell me, brother, I see the same kind of anointing on you that Preston Eby had. He said, I called for Preston Eby out before he got into the deeper word. And he said, I see that same kind of anointing on you. And I thought, well, geez, I think the world of Preston Eby, you know. But I thought, well, nah, you know, I mean, I basically would never compare myself to him. But I got Preston Eby's papers for years.
I think.
And about 25 years ago or 30 years ago, I felt like the Lord said, no, I don't want you to get his papers no more. And it wasn't because there was anything wrong
That's
with
right.
him. But I felt like the Lord said, when I give you something, you're going to know it came from me. Mm-hmm. You're not going to think, well, gosh, did Preston Eby say this, or did brother this say that, or brother that say that? And I quit putting any emphasis on anybody's certain brothers, this or that brother or whatever. And I had a guy tell me one time, he said, and I'm sorry that I've talked too much, but I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I had the biggie prophets prophesy over me and tell me. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, there ain't no biggie prophets. What is a biggie prophet? I didn't say that to him because he was one of the old time elders. And I'm standing there, I'm thinking, there's no such thing as a biggie prophet.
The only biggie prophet I know is
Jesus.
Jesus.
He's the only one that's the biggie prophet.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
What I was
and that, as far as any of us are concerned, he is all.
Yeah.
And anything that we are, and what did he say? He said, he among you that would be great, let him be what? A servant of all.
Yeah.
Become a servant. And I'm going to tell you what, you want to judge somebody, are they willing to serve? Are they willing to be a servant rather than being the big eye or having to have the $10 million house sitting on the hill or whatever, you know, like some of these ministers have? No.
I mean, for me personally, if you got to tell everybody that's what you are,
right,
then you're not effective.
Right, right.
What?
You're not going to be effective.
The only reason I'm even telling you this is because we're talking about what that involves.
Yes.
That ministry or that anointing, it involves, you know, I believe it involves trying to get the body of Christ to grow up.
Yes.
Is what it really amounts out to. And I know as plain as day that years ago the Lord spoke to me and told me that I was going to be a priestly ministry that would step down into the brink and let other people go past me. Now, you can ask Clyde or you can ask anybody out there that speaks. Any time that you guys come to me and have said, Brother Oscar, I've got a word, you know what I usually do? I step aside and let you have the word.
You say when you want to do it.
That's what you always say to me. That's right. And
that's
not because I'm trying to get out of doing it. Because to be perfectly honest with you, I've spoken enough to where I could get up there just about any time and speak. You know, I mean, I've spoken hundreds of times.
If you have to advertise what you are,
right, and
especially
any of us are, we're servants of the Lord,
yeah.
And we're Jesus. What did Jesus say? He came not to be served, but to serve.
Mm-hmm.
He had a servant's heart, and that's what the Lord basically was telling me. You know, when Joshua and them came up to the Jordan River. They were camped in a place of what was called Shittim, which means thorny place, you know. And what did the priests do? You know, a lot of these guys' ministries out here, they're, oh, bless God, I can't wait, God. You know, I'm going to bring forth this and that and all that kind of. You know what? If they're really doing what the Lord wants them to do, they're going to be willing to step down into the river and stand there and watch everybody go past them. Go right on past them. And that's why I don't get upset when people leave, if they leave here. If God's calling them to do something else, I just tell them. And I've had people say, well, why didn't you try to talk me into staying? Or, I said, because if you're mature enough that you know that God's telling you to leave, I'm not going to try to talk you out of that. No, who am I to talk you out of trying what to tell you not to do what God's telling you to do?
He that is first shall be last, and he that is last. Yeah.
Number one, it's not your job to try and talk them into staying.
No, it's not. It's not.
You know?
It's like I told Margaret before. If this place gets to the point, it, other than if I feel like the Lord's telling me to go, I'll go. But if we get to the point where there's nobody coming in here, you know what we'll do? We'll close the place down. I mean, you know. But I don't know. It's.
But he closed us out in the word of prayer. I just remember.
Lord, we just thank you for Bible study. And we thank you for your spirit being here, Father. And may your spirit be in the main sanctuary. And we just bless all of our people, Father, and just we just give you the praise and glory. Mm-hmm. And thank you for what we have and what we shall have. And we all rest in you, and you will become our all in all.
Yeah.
And I thank you for that, Father.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Amen.